that the most beautiful woman in the world was going to be teaching this morning. So Jeannie is with Suzanne in St. Louis, and she is delivering probably as we speak. So I'm going to be sharing some of the things that she had on her heart to share with you. And the subject is intercessory prayer with thanksgiving. And before I even teach, I'd like you to start doing that. You know, usually you teach something and hopefully people will engage and use what you share. So even before I get started on intercessory prayer, please be praying for Susie and her delivery. Thank you very much. And you know what? You could do that in the spirit quietly, huh? What a great privilege to do that. Well, before I was a Christian believer, people would come up and they would have some horrendous problem, some situation with an individual. And I felt, well, what could I do? You know, all I would say is, I hope it gets better. I mean, that's all I could do. But once I became a Christian and a little bit knowledgeable of His Word, I found out that I have a phenomenal resource to help people. So when people come up and say, I've got this situation or this individual's in trouble, I can pray for them. I can lift them in prayer, intercessory prayer. And I know a lot of people will kind of use that term. You know, somebody will come up, hey, Harry over here in New York's having a problem. I don't know what to do. Well, I'll pray for him. I mean, people say that a lot, don't they? But I want us that know God's word, that when we say that, we know that we can do that. That's a powerful resource. And I'm going to be sharing some stories with you, some testimonies, where intercessory prayer works. And I was real blessed with what Jan taught last week. And she shared that an intercessor is one who intercedes on behalf of another. And we've been given the wonderful ability to pray in the Spirit or pray with our understanding for God's people. And when I say pray in the Spirit, what am I talking about? Speaking in tongues. What a great lever of prayer, excuse me, to help people in need. And you might not be able to travel there or be with that individual or within that situation, but you can pray in the Spirit, and man, you're engaging God into that situation for that person. It's a big deal, big deal. So our theme verse is Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That's the King James Version. Okay, this is not the right slide. We're doing slide 2. We're getting there. Colossians, there we go. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And then this Passion Translation, that's the TPT. Be faithful to pray as intercessors who are fully alert and giving thanks. Now, why would you give thanks while you're making intercession for somebody? You know, there's a problem, there's a situation going on, there's stress, there's care, there's concern. But why would you pray with thanksgiving? You know that God's going to answer that. You know that when you pray for somebody, you're engaging God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Do you believe that? I do. I do. I've seen it happen too many times. We were at Agape Now yesterday morning, and Bert and Dagmar were there. I knew they couldn't be here for the fellowship this morning. And he reminded me, you know, I mentioned I was going to share on intercessory prayer, and he reminded me quickly, well, look at us. There was a time where Dagmar was separated from her dad, had not talked to him, seen him, living in San Diego for 7 years. And one of the things that was on his heart when Bert came to fellowship was to pray for this situation. And we did. We made intercessory prayer. And lo and behold, she out of the blue contacts her dad, has an open heart to fellowship with them. And they are best of buds now. Isn't that neat? So I always thought that was pretty cool that he would remind me of the results of intercessory prayer for his life. So we continue, right? Unceasingly, we pray for those situations that come up. So I want to share a couple stories with you. The first story involves 26 bodyguards. Quite a few. The other story involves 16 guards, but these are not bodyguards, these are prison guards. So, first story. And I don't know where Jeannie found this. I'm going to read this account to you. A missionary on furlough told his true story while visiting his home church in Michigan. And he was a missionary in Africa. While serving at a small field hospital in Africa, every 2 weeks I would travel by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This was a journey of 2 days and required camping overnight at the halfway point. On one of these journeys, I arrived in the city where I planned to collect money from the bank, purchase medicine and supplies, and then begin my 2-day journey back to the field hospital. Upon arrival in the city, I observed 2 men fighting, one of whom had been seriously injured. I treated him for his injuries and at the same time talked to him about the Lord. I then traveled 2 days, camping overnight, and arrived home without incident. 2 weeks later, I repeated my journey. Upon arriving in the city, I was approached by the young man I had treated. He told me that he had known I carried money and medicines. He said, "Some friends and I followed you in the jungle, knowing you would camp overnight. We planned to kill you and take your money and things. But just as we were about to move into your camp, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards." At this, I laughed and said that I was certainly all alone in the jungle campsite. The young man pressed the point, however, and said, "No, sir. I was not the only person to see the guards. My friends also saw them, and we all counted them, and it was because of those guards that we were afraid, and we ran off and left you alone." Now, at this point in the sermon, one of the men in the congregation, now he's telling this story in Michigan, right, at this church, and one of the men in the congregation jumped to his feet and interrupted the missionary and asked if he could tell him the exact day that this event happened. The missionary told the congregation the date, and the man who interrupted told this story. "On the night of your incident in Africa, it was morning here, and I was preparing to play golf. I was about to putt when I felt the urge to pray for you." Usually when you're about to putt, you're praying for your putt to go in the hole. Ask Barney, he's good at that. But he was inspired by God to pray. "In fact, the urging of the Lord was so strong, I called men in this church to meet with me here in the sanctuary to pray for you." Now, would all of those men who met with me on that day stand up? You know, he's telling this to the church. He said, "All those guys that came and prayed, stand up." The men who had met together to pray that day stood up. The missionary wasn't concerned with whom they were. He was too busy counting how many men he saw. There was 26. This story is an incredible example of how the Spirit of the Lord moves in behalf of those who he loves. If you ever feel such prodding to pray, go along with it. You don't know what it can mean to that person. I want you to think about situations maybe you experienced. And if we have time, I might let you share briefly about that. But let's look at the second story. And this involves going to the Bible. So grab your Bibles, if you would. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. What does it mean to vex? Harass, bother, do violence. Okay. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now I understand that this guy, James, who was killed, was one of the 12. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison. So here's Peter, the great apostle Peter, being put in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers. How many is that? Four quadrants. 16 soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So what did the church do? Did they storm the prison and try to get? No, they went to God the Father, didn't they? And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. I need two volunteers, two men. Al, Bob, come on up here, please. I want you to get the picture here. Okay, I can only find one chain, but you're on one side. Kind of grab through my arms here. And we're bound by chain here. Help me out here. Grab that other chain. Okay, we are bound by chains. There's two. Now, how many all together were there? 16. Well, they couldn't fit next to each other here, so they're in the area, I'm sure. And what were they doing? Sleeping. All right, they were sleeping. And what happened? Read the next account real loud with the next verse. What?
The guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and a light shone in the prison.
Okay, an angel stood by them, right?
Yeah.
Light shined. What happened?
And he struck Peter on the side and said,
woke him up. Gone. Thank you very much. So let's read the rest of this. You would think, okay, the chains fall. He gets up. You think the other guys are going to get up too. But what goes on here? Verse 8, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not know, not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. You know, he's a little sleepy-eyed. He didn't quite get this quite yet. But what were all these other guards doing? You'd think they would be awake and no. Isn't this amazing? And he's in the inner prison. And he went out, cast thy garment around, follow me, verse 9, and he went out and followed him, didn't know it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision, verse 10, when they were past the first and the second ward, he was really in the depth of the prison there, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Isn't that wild? You think that gate was locked? Yes, but it opened by its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. What an event. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Now, could you imagine if Peter would have been killed at this point? It really would have stopped the movement of God's word there, the early church. A critical time. But what did the people do in this situation? They went to God in prayer, didn't they? And man, look at the results. Verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Wow. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gates for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. You know, she didn't let him in. He's out there waiting to get in. And she's running in to tell everybody, Peter's out on the front porch. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is an angel. You know, here these people were praying. I don't know what they were expecting, but probably they weren't expecting that all of a sudden Peter would show up at the front door. They couldn't believe it. But they were still praying. You know, I think sometimes we limit ourselves because a situation might be so drastic, so big, I don't know if I could believe for that. Well, what should you do anyway? Still pray. Believe in prayer. Go for it. God will work. Let him work. Give him that open door by praying. Even if it's too big and you don't think it could happen. It can happen with God. All things are what? Possible. He's the God of the impossible. But Peter continued to knocking, right? Peter continued knocking, verse 16, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. So, pretty neat. Verse 17, we'll finish it out. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. And now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. That was what became of Peter. Could you imagine those two guys sleeping next to him? They wake up and Peter's gone. Wow. So intercessory prayer works. Now, we have, in our fellowship, we have formed a prayer team in the last 2 years, and we have about 38 believers are in that prayer team. And how many of you are involved in the prayer team? So most of you are. That's great. And we've made commitment to pray intercessory prayer for people and situations. And so here's some verses. Let's take a look at a couple more verses that reminds us that God is still answering intercessory prayer, that this is a type of prayer that he approves of, And that works. So Romans 8, 26 and 27, praying in the Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray for according to the will of God. Those groans or thoughts during the night or day, bringing someone to your remembrance, is the Holy Spirit getting your attention that prayer is needed or wisdom to help someone. Now, I know that's not what the verse says, but this is an explanation of that section there. Let's go to the next one in Ephesians 6:18. This is the Amplified. And this is what we do. This is right on the tail of putting on the whole armor of God. You put on the whole armor of God, you stand, and what do? You pray. You pray. Wow. After putting on the whole armor, we pray in the Spirit. We pray all the time. We get into it. We, with an earnest and humble request, to the end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all saints, God's consecrated people. So, a couple verses there. You know, I was thinking too, who else uses intercessory prayer? Jesus Christ. I think it's in Hebrews 7. I'm not sure, the verse 25 maybe. It says that Jesus Christ at the right hand of God, you think, well, what does he do up there? It says in Hebrews, and I think in Romans too, that he makes intercession for the saints. Wow. So if it's good enough for Jesus Christ to have intercessory prayer, it's good enough for us, huh? Man, oh man. Well, I'd like to share some of the testimonies that we've experienced in the prayer team here. And this first one in our next slide is Tara. Oh, this is for, I'm sorry, we were going to share 1 John 5:14. So victory in prayer with thanksgiving. So this is the confidence which we have in him, we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Pretty neat, huh? So those are the scriptures in light of intercessory prayer and God moving as we pray. All right, now we'll get to the stories. This first one, yes, Tara. The longest liver cancer survivor, she received a new liver built from half of her childhood friend's liver. Tara is Jeannie's sister-in-law's niece. We've never met her, but when she heard about Tara's last opportunity to get a liver, she got involved and started praying and asked the prayer team to join in. Tara's family started a GoFundMe account to help pay for her to go to China for a liver transplant. After we started praying, UCLA decided to give her one more checkup to see if she was a candidate for the liver program. All was going well, and then they rejected her. No problem, prayers were still being made. A doctor in Pennsylvania had heard about Tara, and he arranged for her to come to Pennsylvania, all expenses paid for, and the surgery, and formed a heart out of a heart for her friend. I'm not sure what that means. We'll have to ask Jeannie when she gets back. Huh? Formed a heart out of a half a heart. I think liver we're talking about. Yeah. So they used half of a liver from her friend, because that was mentioned earlier. Yes. Here she is recovered and truly blessed. That's a picture of her there. Only God could direct those steps through the intercession of the saints who don't even know her. Okay, next one. Lindsay, a Navy wife, was in a head-on collision. There's the car right there. She was 8 months pregnant, and her two-year-old was in the back seat. Lindsay called Care Rogers. Most of you know Care. As soon as the accident happened, her husband, Lindsay's husband, is on the same ship with Matt Rogers. Thank you. Okay, so when this happened, she called Care. Care assured her everything would be okay. Care then called Jeannie, and we were on the way to a labor's weekend at that time. We actually were in Gila Bend when we prayed. Some of you know have been to good old Gila Bend. Yes. So Lindsay was pried out of the car and taken to Sharp maternity, and her son was taken to the children's hospital. Lindsay did not go into labor as was expected, but just had a few bruises, which is pretty amazing when you see what this car looked like. Pretty wild. Now, her husband was on the USS Sterrett with Matt Rogers, and the call went through the Red Cross to let him know immediately. And they were way out to sea. They were halfway around the world. And so what they did on the ship, they all pitched in, bought him an airline ticket, and flew him home, which is pretty neat, huh? One important detail was that we had been praying for the USS Sterrett and the crew and their families while they were out to sea before this even happened. The family is so thankful for your prayers. In fact, I saw the husband just yesterday. He was very blessed and thankful. Number three, Jeff and Aaron Miller are having a baby due the middle of March, and I think you heard the news on this. Jeff and Aaron have been spiritual partners with Acts Now Fellowship for over 2 years, and we've really never met them. We don't know who they really are. They're believers, obviously. They have been blessed with the work we are doing and are blessed to support it. So they check in on the teachings and our website. Over a year ago, they asked if we could put in a prayer request. Family of three. Aaron had been through infertility procedures, and they were now going through Christian Adoption Agency to get a baby. They tried everything medically possible to get a baby. Nothing happened. Now they were going to go to the adoption agency. At one point, they asked that we pray that the baby would not be affected by drugs, etc., in light of the adoption. After a while, they were getting a little discouraged, but still confessed God had a baby for them. That really hit my heart, Jeannie's heart. This young couple needed their own baby, and that thought must have come from God. So that was my request, Jeannie's request. Over a month ago, we received a praise report that a baby was on the way. Aaron was pregnant due middle of March. That's just neat. Prayed unceasingly. Praise the Lord, great thanksgiving was given. It was made. I finally talked to Jeff on the phone and asked for a picture so we could get to know them personally. So the fervent prayers of a righteous man, men and women, availeth much. My interpretation. So, wow. Pretty neat, huh? Any of you have a quick one? You got a quick one, Al? Come on up here so we can stand right next to me here and share.
Well, this one isn't as dramatic as the ones we've seen, but to the individual, it was dramatic. That's what counts with God. So I'm leaving to go home for the weekend at work on Friday, and I ran across someone who I've known for many, many years, but I hadn't seen him in a while. The first thing I knew, or I saw and noticed about him, is his face looked like he was just down and out. I said, "Hey, Steve, what's going on?" He goes, "Well, I put in for a bid, but I know I'm not going to get it because I'm at the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak." And at the Postal Service, if you're not in the right place, you're not going to get the job. So you can put in the bids all you want, but a lot of people who are seniors, you will get it. So right away, the first thing I thought about was God. I said, Steve, why don't we pray about this? And he goes, huh? I said, yeah, let's pray about this. And I said, not just me, but you also. So this weekend, I want you to pray without ceasing about this job that's on your heart. Let God clear the ladder. So went home, prayed about it and prayed about it. Well, that following week when I showed up to work, and again, I don't see this guy. And who did I run across coming into work? Steve. What did I see in his face? A smile. And you know what I said? Before he said anything to me, I said, Steve, you got the job, didn't you? He goes, yeah. How? And I just looked up like that. And so.
Yeah, great story. Good. All right. Well, I'm sure we've got many stories we can tell. And you know what's most important? We've got many more that we want to make, huh? Many more exciting stories ahead as we continue to pray and for other people and situations. So I want to do a little review here, okay? So let's do a review. The next slide here. An intercessor stands in between the people of God and their problems to build a spiritual wall that will strengthen them for health and wholeness. An intercessor reminds the Lord of his promises until they are fulfilled. I mean, you take a look in the Bible where people are praying prayers of intercessory. A lot of times they remind God who he is, don't they? Nehemiah, we were at the weekend with Nehemiah building the walls, rebuilding the walls in your life. That's what Nehemiah did. He reminded God how powerful and how strong he was. Big time. So we want to do that as we pray. Number two, an intercessor fights for or pleads for justice to prevail on behalf of another. An intercessor pleads for mercy. Remember how big God's mercy is. And it's huge, isn't it? God's mercy is huge. So let's take a look to close out here. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18. Okay, and that's on this slide here. But rejoice always, pray continually, giving thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, 5:18, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So what a joy and a privilege it is to stand in the gap between God's people and their needful request. We can go to God knowing that he is all-powerful and he does answer prayer, right? Amen. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege it is to be your children, that we have access to you, that we can pray to you on situations and for people, Father. We're just, what a wonderful lever of prayer you've given to us, Father. So we're just excited for the days ahead as we believe your word more and more, as we step out and pray to you more and more, Father, with believing expectations. You are all-powerful. You are all-loving. You want the best for us, Father, and all of your children. So we thank you, Father. We thank you with thanksgiving in our heart that you have done so much for us, and